good. Good. And if you don't know, now you know, Native.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org. Radio without boundaries.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hitney Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we've got a jam-packed show, and I like to say that because then we don't have to do much talking, Haley.
What?
Yeah, exactly. So we have our friend Arvina Martin from Emerge Wisconsin catching us up on what's happening politically in Wisconsin and all around Turtle Island. And of course, and we have a guest that we haven't had on in a long time. Yeah. John, and John's just a doer, and he's been in the community for so many years. And I just want to say, John Hunter, who's founder and coach of Twin Cities Native Lacrosse, and we have a lot of great questions ready for him, and I'm sure he has a lot of great answers. So, jam-packed show, Haley. What else is going on?
Well, a lot of exciting things are. I'm excited to have like a whole Ho-Chunk Winnebago show today for an entire hour. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff going on. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about this for, since the beginning of May, I guess, and before that. But May is American Indian Month here in Minnesota. It's also Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yeah.
You can check locally for that monthly calendar filled with events on Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, or MUD, M-U-I-D. Mm-hmm. They have a Facebook page. We also shared the calendar on our Native Roots Radio Facebook page if you want to just scroll down and save that to your camera roll. But there's stuff going on this weekend, Robert.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm excited for the Ho-Chunk 5K on Friday the 5th. It's a run walk, so I'll be doing both. And Wendy kind of threw me under the bus yesterday when the cameras are out for the last 10 yards. I start running, and like I ran the whole thing, and it's a beautiful experience. You get a trophy, and there'll be food and speakers, and it'll be awesome. It's 14th annual 5K. And it was founded by Vice President of Ho-Chunk Nation, Danielle DeLong. And expect a meal, DJ, T-shirts, and the usual raffle. Geez, you know, got to get raffle. those tickets going.
Dude, the raffle, I spend so much money on every year. And it goes to a good cause, too, I just want to say. But they have amazing raffle prizes. I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday. But like the kayak, the camping gear, bicycles.
Yeah. We got one of those wagons to fold up, and we use it for Native Roots Trading Post all the time.
Yeah. Did Wendy throw you under the bus for your running yesterday? I think you kind of talked about that.
Well, hey, I'm a self, what do they say? A self, it's at 5 p.m. It's at Phelan Regional Park, 1600 Phelan Drive, St. Paul, Minnesota, the capital city of, Minnesota.
Yeah. I like this one for sure. I get them mixed up. I don't know if it's Phelan or Fallon.
It's Phelan.
Phelan.
Yeah.
Phelan. Okay. I've listened to KDWB since I was a kid, and there's a great host on there named Phelan. Phelan. Now I can't remember which one it is. Anyways, I get them mixed up because of that. There's other stuff going on this weekend. AIFC, American Indian Family Center, will be hosting their annual open house. Also on Friday, May 9th, this is going to be before the 5K from 12 to 2 p.m. It's going to be at the American Indian Family Center located at 579 Wells Street in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's going to be outside in the parking lot, so dress for the weather. Luckily, it looks like it's going to be sunny with a high of low 80s, so be ready to celebrate American Indian Month. There's going to be great laughs with American Indian Family Center. They're also going to be serving a light lunch. There's going to be activities for kids and families. It's a free event, so bring all of your relatives, and then head over to the Ho-Chunk 5K in Lake Phelan after that.
Hey, I just want to bring this up, Haley, before we get to our friend Arvina Martin on and continue this all Ho-Chunk Winnebago show today. People always ask about our Resist t-shirts and some of our art from our store. So we have our Resist hoodies, hats on causecart.shop, and then just look up Native Roots Trading Post on there and you'll find all the swag up there. So that's causecart, causecart.shop, and you know, help support us and also get a cool Resist shirt and be a groovy person with all these protests that we need to go to.
Yeah, always support your local Native artist. Yeah, I'm excited. I have a Resist shirt. I have the rainbow one, too. I have them actually in a couple different sizes, so I can wear them all the time. but Saturday, I want to quickly shout out, Saturday, May 10th, the Anishinaabe Student Council is doing a car wash fundraiser in Minneapolis from 11 to 2 p.m. This is going to be Saturday, May 10th. Again, it's going to be in the back parking lot at 3100 East 28th Street, Minneapolis. The cost for that fundraiser, the car wash, is $10. It's going to be a high of 78 and sunny, so perfect day to get a car wash, too. Working at the car wash.
I hope they vacuum it out because I need my car is dirty inside and I need it vacuumed.
Mine too, actually. I have a bunch of dirt from my landscaping plants still in there that I need to clean out.
Oh, geez.
But that might be a different thing. Also, this Saturday, Little Earth Residents Association is hosting their annual Mother's Day powwow on Saturday, May 10th. Grand entry times will be 1 and 7 p.m.
That's an awesome event to go to that every year, even though I'm not a mother. Hey, let's bring our friend Arvina Martin, who's Ho-Chunk and Stockbridge Muncie, and she is executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. Thank you so much, Arvina. We have John Hunter, the cross guy, on next. And so we have an all Ho-Chunk Winnebago show today. Ho-wah.
Yay!
Hey, so how was the gala and Emerge Gala in California?
It was wonderful. I got to hear Kamala speak. She, of course, had wise words, and you know, the speech was apparently carried by CNN live, so some people did watch it. But it was kind of it wasn't a defeatist speech, you know, it was definitely acknowledging a lot of the things that we are having to go through right now, but it was also a speech that had hope in it, and it was one that was inspiring to, you know, keep the fight going as opposed to just, you know, having to stop and just throwing up our hands and saying, you know, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, and I like that, and that's kind of why we're still on the radio, because we were so bummed out after the election. We had to take a week off and regroup, and now here we are, and we need to resist and divest and join a group and run for office and vote, and we need to pound that into everyone that's on the borderline and all our listeners out there.
Absolutely. You know, and remember, I say it almost every time, you know, we talk about it, but making sure that you're taking care of yourself, that you are giving yourself rest when you need it, that you are making sure that you are trying to keep your mental health as positive as possible while taking these battles underway. I mean, this is going to be a long game, and we need everybody. So take a break when you need to and keep fighting when you are able.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with our friend Arvina Martin, Ho-Chunk Stockbridge Muncie Band and executive director of Merge Wisconsin. And I feel like you're our connection in Wisconsin, so we can talk to our listeners, all our listeners that are listening to us on civic media. So we really appreciate you coming in and talking to us. And so we're going to take a quick break here and pay the bills. This is Native Roots Radio, and this is the All Ho-Chunk Winnebago Show today. Ho-wa.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with Arvina Martin, Ho-Chunk and Stockbridge Muncie Band member and Emerge Wisconsin Executive Director. Hey, I was talking a little bit about having this be a Ho-Chunk Winnebago show. Arvina, do you want to let our audience kind of know the difference? But there's a lot of non-difference, because like in the white way, I'm like the oldest cousin in my family and everybody else is enrolled in Nebraska and I'm the only one enrolled in Wisconsin. So we're like the same people, but different. Oh,
yeah. So Nebraska, Winnebago, and the Ho-Chunk Nation, you know, used to be the same people. There's a lot of people that have relatives in both tribes. We are recognized as two different federally recognized tribes that function independently from each other in terms of government. But in terms of traditions and everything, you know, language is the same. You know, the Ho-Chunk Nation members are the folks that wouldn't be removed. I remember reading an article when I was maybe in middle school or high school that talked about how the federal government kept trying to remove us, but we wouldn't stay. And I remember the headline of that article was Ho-Chunk stubbornness. They survived because of it. So, you know, I think that sounds pretty spot on, that the Nebraska and Winnebago are the folks that stayed, and the Ho-Chunk Nations are the ones that are returned back home.
Yeah, and they snuck back home, and I think one of the most famous people, and I'm sure you've heard of him, Dandy, who snuck back 8 different times over 30 years, and they kept on catching him, and they called him Dandy because he was such a well-dressed Ho-Chunk.
Yeah, I was thinking about that actually for another reason, because of the Met Gala and how that came about. And I was thinking about the idea of native dandiness, or I don't know if dandiness would be the right term, but of native dandies and how we might how we might interpret that, and how, you know, a Native theme or a Native interpretation of that theme, what that might look like. And I don't know that I know, but I remembered that we have a tribal leader who's was called Dandy. And so I was thinking about that. I was also reminded of the story about how the military guy that was sent out west with the Ho-Chunks, I can't remember too specifically where, but his charge was to stay there out west until he was positive that the Ho-Chunks would stay. And so he did that, and he saw people starting to, you know, plant crops and everything. He's like, oh, they're staying. And so the military guy, you know, took the leisurely way back to Portage. And by the time he got back to Portage, all the Ho-Chunks were back.
That's right. And it's interesting too, that there's places that the Ho-Chunk are known for in Wisconsin, let's say, but there's also places where Ho-Chunk know to hide. And that's been going on for, well, at least since colonization. And that's a thing we don't like talk about or definitely give away where it is, because we may need to go back there and hide sometime.
I mean, the way things are going now, I would keep our hiding spaces secret, so then we can all go convene there when we need, if we need to.
Right. And I guess one of the hiding places now, at least for us Indians across Turtle Island, is no longer Alcatraz, because Trump wants to open that up again. And how crazy is that?
Of course he does. I mean, Alcatraz really seems like a symbol of cruelty, and one of, you know, one that is the opposite of compassion, one that is the opposite of rehabilitation. And so, of course, that is the model that he wants to go for. He has no interest in rehabilitating folks who have made poor decisions in life, maybe because of necessity or because they, you know, didn't, the opportunities weren't there. And, you know, they refer to prisons and jails as correctional facilities, and they're missing the corrections part, and not working with, prisoners in order to make those really deep changes and those positive changes that they can in order to lead successful lives upon their release. Instead, he's all about the punishment. I mean, this should not surprise us. You know, fingers crossed that maybe someday he'll have to experience some of these corrections systems, and have to, you know, pay the consequences for his own illegal actions. But I'm not holding my breath on that one. But I, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all that he saw some place as cruel as Alcatraz and was like, yep, that's the kind of thing that we need back here.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We talk about fighting back and resisting, and I want to talk just specifically about this summer and the powwow season. But we have a big powwow July 4th, Corporal Mitchell Red Cloud Junior Day. And one of the things that came up today in my other job is that it's the 75th anniversary, and it's going to be a big hoop-de-do. And that's a way to fight back, to recognize our relatives that are recognizable, even a part of this nation, but especially our own nation, Ho-Chunk Nation.
Yeah, and, you know, someone like Corporal Mitchell Red Cloud should really be recognized as a national hero as well. Mm-hmm. You know, his brave and valiant actions saved lives of the people of his I forgive me, I don't know a lot of the military terms. I don't know if it was a company or a troop or what division. But you know, he saved American lives and lost his own life in the process. You know, I think people in Wisconsin should be proud of Mitchell Red Cloud as a Wisconsinite. I think Americans should be proud of him as well. And I think that as Ho-Chunk people, us celebrating our heroes and celebrating those who came before who acted courageously, you know, that you're right, it is a form of resistance, because you know that there's not going to be any kind of proclamation from the White House on Mitchell Red Cloud Day, you know, no one acknowledging his bravery and valor in combat, in service. And, you know, Trump probably categorizes him, you know, as losers and just the same that he refers to those who serve in our military, just generally, which is a shame and a very unbefitting for someone who holds the title Commander in Chief.
Well, somebody did a chat GPT on all the people that Trump has bullied, and it's all BIPOC people and people that can't fight, stick up for themselves, you know, whether it's like that one writer that he made fun of, you know, in 2016 that, you know, had cerebral palsy. And so it's not anybody, it's a bully tactic, and that's how he rolls. And we got to just stay vigilant and still talk about this and talk about how we get out of this and when we get out of this and how we can move on. And that's why it's great to have Merge Wisconsin on too. Why don't we talk a little bit about that before we let you go, and how people can support and hear about it? And I think it's such a great organization.
Yeah, Emerge Wisconsin is one of 27 affiliates throughout the country, and we are an organization that trains women and non-binary folks on how to run for office for Democratic women and non-binary folks. Our website is wi.emergeamerica.org, and if you are out there and you have ever thought, maybe I should run for office, shoot me an email, arvina@emergewi.org, and I'm happy to talk to you about the process. If you are a Democratic woman or non-binary person somewhere in the U.S., you know, we have national boot camps and training camps as well. And in addition to our state programs, let's get more Native people elected to every level of office in every part of this country. Our voices are needed, and desperately needed. So,
wow. Thank you so much, Irvina. Emerge Wisconsin's executive director and our friend and relative from Ho-Chunk Nation. We'll see you on July 4th at the powwow. I know you go to that one too. So great
Absolutely.
To see you. Thank you so much for being on. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
Hey, Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back.
Discover the hidden stories of Minneapolis during Doors Open Minneapolis, happening May 17th and 18th from 10 to 5. Get free access to 75 unique venues, from historic theaters and sacred spaces to modern marvels and behind-the-scenes gems like KFAI.
Meet the people who keep these spaces alive and learn why they matter to our city's story. KFAI will be open Saturday, May 17th from 10 to 5. No registration needed. Details at doorsopenminneapolis.org.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hey-cha, wait-cha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have our friend Tony Drews coming on here, and Tony, it's great to see you. And I understand my Chujunk Haley ran into you a couple weeks ago, and that's really cool. And, you know, a Native Roots Trading Post has sold your products, and it's an amazing, amazing thing, and it's beautiful. We want to talk about you and about your great products and what's going on here. So again, welcome, and please introduce yourself in a good way. Oh
yeah, how miwa au Chinoden, aka Tony Ndijinakaz. My Ojibwe name is Chinoden, which means big wind. I got that name from my grandma's cousin, but people know me as Tony. Super excited to be on the broadcast today. Thank you so much for having me. Just a complete pleasure. So how miigwech for having me here today.
Wow, thank you so much too, Big Peeny Gigi. Haley, you met Tony at the Wild Rivers State Park.
I sure did. Yeah, I went out there for the Maple Syrup Day, and Tony happened to be tabling there and had a lot of fun games and big crowds at his table. Everyone wanted to see what was going on.
Absolutely. When you started, I guess the games, your products are called Nashki Games. How did this come into fruition? I really like that word, by the way. How did this come into a fruition in I know it's not been around a long time, but like Haley said, the buzz is out there.
Well, that's great to hear. And I just love the opportunity to talk about what we're doing. I used to work for the Anoka Hennepin Indian Education Program. I worked with the Anoka Cluster secondary students. And, you know, tasked with helping our Native students make sure they graduate and help them with attendance, but also with cultural enrichment. And, you know, I just worked with about 150 students, just great families, and all of our kids were just super proud to be Native American. Then when we started talking about, you know, our culture and stuff, it came apparent that, you know, our suburban Native students as a whole didn't really have a lot of context about their culture. So I was super excited. Went to the chalkboard. I was going to teach them everything that they needed to know. And apparently, talking about culture and language on the chalkboard isn't very exciting for middle school and high schoolers. So I was really struggling. I like, how am I going to be able to share this with my students in a meaningful way? And, you know, just kind of struggling week after week. They didn't have to come down. You know, they sent passes, and they were coming down because they wanted to know, but there was no connection there. And David Sam Abun from Mille Lacs had talked to me and given me a moccasin game. So I just brought that into my group with really no intentions, just like something different to talk about. And boy, it just sparked engagement. So I went home and I was like, oh, I need to, you know, figure out how to capture this in a weekly sense. And so I started making games that would convey our culture on my little home printer here. And, you know, then my colleagues at Anoka Hennepin was seeing some positive effects and like, hey, what are you doing over there, Tony? And then, you know, I'd get interest from people from other districts, and they'd want to buy things I wasn't selling. Like, so, you know, I was fortunate before I worked at the Tawai Foundation to get a grant to bring our flagship game, Miigwech, which is a fur trade era game, at a professional level. And there was a lot of interest there. I was fortunate enough to get a grant from the Finnovation Fellowship, who invest in early stage entrepreneurs. So I'm not an entrepreneur, or maybe I am now, but I just knew I had this thing, and they helped me fine tune that. And really what started it too is like, we have our cultural hero in Ojibwe, Wayne Abuju. And, you know, of those 150 students I was working with, boy, just a couple of them even knew who he was. And I equated that to like maybe being Christian and never hearing of this entity, Jesus Christ. Like, everything about Christianity is based in Jesus, right? Yeah. Everything about being Ojibwe is based in Wayne Abuju. And, you know, when you talk about Wayne Abuju, you're really behind the barrel there. So we incorporate all those images into our games to give starting points. We're like, hey, who is this? And then we can have those conversations. But I don't know if I went off the rails there. Hopefully that was kind of how we answered, how we started up. I'm a Big Wind is my Ojibwe name, so I can talk here like a pro.
Well, you know, what Ho-Chunk is, we're people of the big voice, so we're right on the same thing. And this is a radio show, so that's what we do, is we talk about things. So you're right on track, Tony.
Perfect, Tony.
Yeah. So I have to tell you my experience a little bit, seeing the games. And it was really interesting, your puzzles, for instance. I had never seen anything like that. So when we had your puzzles down at the Dayton's Market, and Wendy, my wife, she put one together so people could see what it was, because really it looked like, you know, tongue dispensers with art on it. And what is this? But once it's explained and put out there, also I had a great, we were at Shakopee during the holidays, and we took the cards out of the plain cards that have all this great art on it, Ojibwe art, and we put them out so people could see them, and then people just bought them like crazy. It's just, let's talk about this art and where you've gotten it, and you know, the response that you're getting, I'm sure, is just fabulous, because we, you know, being a vendor of yours, have just gotten unbelievable responses when people know what they're looking at.
Yeah, I am. I've been very fortunate. I try to work with as many Native businesses and vendors as I can. I'm really here to promote our youth and our community. And I've just been very fortunate. We work with about three or four Native artists, but the two that we really started with was Bill Breen. I just seen his work, yeah, and I really loved it, and I reached out to him, and we share a personal connection with Loss, and, you know, he really got me going, and he is really our first artist. And then I was able to connect with Chelsea Smith, just a talented Native artist from Boisfort, and so they really support our work. Nicole Bean has done some work for us in the greeting card area. I just love to uplift our community, and these Native artists have really helped build our brand for us.
Yeah, so let's talk about what's all in your brand, and I'm sure you're getting more and more things, but I talked a little bit about the playing cards and the puzzles, but there's so much more.
Yeah, unfortunately, my brain doesn't stop. So we started out with, we have three main categories right now. We have reimagined traditional games. So these are games that people have been playing for hundreds and hundreds of years. And just by playing these games, you're immersing yourself into our culture. Something notable about these games is, because they are a part of our culture, they do have some cultural protocols around them. And for example, one of our flagship games, the Moccasin game, and that's the game that David Samabun first gave me. In our culture, anyhow, it's really a men's game. But the problem is our culture doesn't, our families don't know about this game. Like, none of the students I worked with knew about it. Their families didn't. But we were in a conundrum with these games particular. And the Bagasi game is the bowl, the dish game falls into this. So we really hesitate. Like, how do we do this in a good way? Like, we always, akawaya sema, we always start with tobacco in our culture. So when we started to get to a point where, like, hey, these are our games that our community's interested in, and we want to be able to get these out there, we went to elders and we gave them our tobacco and said, hey, we want to get these out there, but we know that there's these hiccups with them, you know, please advise, like, should we not be doing this? Or, right. And they came back and they said, you know what, this is not the moccasin game. And it's not, like, our scoring is really tailored down to a real foundational base. They're really just meant as teaching tools to help people learn more about them. And then hopefully our youth will say, hey, I know about this, and then seek out elders to know more about those traditional games. So we call them our reimagined traditional games. Cool. And right now we have the snake game, the Bagasi game, and the moccasin game. Then we have contemporary card games. We have our version of Go Fish. We call it Banishiyug. It's a card game. And what we love about this is we provide the Ojibwe to play the game all in Ojibwe. Gawabamana, kukuku. Do you see the owl? So we use the verb to see instead of have. And you can play the whole game in Ojibwe with that one sentence. And then we provide on our website free resources. We have videos for all of our games, so you can hear that language too to incorporate it in your gameplay. But of course, they can all be played in English. And then Meek, which is our flagship game, it's to expose our community and really assist teachers and families to talk about the fur trade era. And Meek, which right means thank you. That's one of the most common words. But you know, really, there's no way to say you're welcome. And what does that tell us? That tells us that which is a newer word.
Exactly. Tony, I want to get that website out before I forget, because you know I'm getting some timers. I'm getting old now. I'm getting hard, you know, forgetting to pay bills and things like that. But we won't go there in this segment. But hey, what's the website, Tony?
Yeah, just nashke.com.
So let's spell that out. NASHKE.com.
.com.
Right on. Cool. Let's talk a little bit more. You know, there's so much to talk about, and there's so many things that you got going on there. People can get on your website, check out the videos, which is awesome to hear. Because I, you know, Ho-Chunk play the game too. What game did you say in the beginning?
Moccasin.
Moccasin game. I'm sorry. Yeah, and so that's a big thing with the young ones. I've noticed so. That's cool that these traditions bleed over in different tribes.
Yeah, and that's something like once you start to learn about things, you learn how little you know. And I've learned so much about these games now that it's something that I've been learning about.
Well, heck, that's get you back on for another segment and how people can and talk about more of your games, because this is something, again, you almost have to be there to see it, to believe it, but also having the videos up there really, really helps. And I think we're taking a break here, right, Haley?
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds. I want to shout out nashke.com, NASHKE.com is where you can check out games. And can people order from there too, Tony?
You can definitely order. We also cater to educators, so we have an educator tab. Tax exempt, do special bundles for educators too. Yep, you can order right from my shop too.
Right on. Good question. As always, producer Haley, hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, keeping in line with our show today, having a Ho-Chunk Winnebago show, we have our friend John Hunter, who is founder and coach of Twin Cities Native Lacrosse and your tribal affiliations. I'm just going to stop at Winnebago. We were not going to talk about the other ones. Ho-wah. Welcome, John.
Thank you. Ha-ho. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, it's great to have you back. It's been many years since you've been on, and I'm going to say that's my bad. That's how the young ones say it. thanks, Haley. Can you please remind us and our listeners a little about you and your background?
Yeah, my dad's enrolled tribal member, Winnebago tribe. I grew up here in the Twin Cities all my life. Went out to school out at Stanford University and been involved in the community since I've been young. I've been, grew up going to McGizzy Communications during the summer. And my mom was a teacher in Minneapolis Public Schools. And so dad was always involved. We going around the Powwow Trail and whatnot. But when I was growing up, I was really interested in sports and tried all the different sports and got involved in high school. And I had a teacher in high school that had played lacrosse in college. And I got to know him a little bit and really started this journey of, trying to bring together what I knew as our history. You know, I heard these stories about the native origins of lacrosse, but I hadn't seen it being played here in the Twin Cities or, you know, back in the home communities in Winnebago or up north. And so I was asking around and even got so involved that I started a high school team at my high school, but not with the wooden sticks, not with the old Indian game. You know, it was using these plastic sticks, and had a blast, and even played in college. And then I kind of stepped away, came back home after college, and it wasn't till my daughter was born, Hinu was born, and she got old, started to be old enough to play sports, that I took up this idea again about traditional lacrosse. And that's when I ran into Dr. Dan Inham, and he told me, he was the one that said, "Oh yeah, I know about that old style game." And so he, this was 2014, he took me to a game in Wisconsin. So it was using these style sticks, these hoop style sticks. So that's what started it. And of course, that's when I started Twin Cities Native Lacrosse.
So that's 2014 you started it. Wow. How was the reception? Did everyone know what you were talking about or wanted to join in? Was it a slow start or immediate start?
It was immediate. It was, you know, we say that this game, we've always carried it, whether, you know, we played it, we carry it in our blood, as part of our heritage. And so it was immediate. We, you know, we had probably a couple of weeks where it was just a handful of people, but within a month or 2 months, we had dozens and dozens of players and families coming out. These were just in the city park. We had we got a Tawahi grant and were able to purchase 30 of these wooden sticks, and we would just go to the park and put a notice out on Facebook or wherever, and people just showed up, and it was immediate. They knew they wanted to play, so all we had to do was just set a time and a place.
That's awesome. Did we hear this right? The largest youth lacrosse tournament in the Midwest will be held in the Twin Cities this year in 2025.
Yeah, that's right. This is breaking news. We haven't announced it publicly. So this, you're hearing it here first. Twin Cities Native Lacrosse has been hosting tournaments annually. And since COVID, they've always been well attended, but in COVID, we unfortunately had to kind of back off a little bit. And, you know, it's been 5 years now, and they're just starting to kind of get that steam back. But we haven't been able to do a lot with the youth divisions. So this year, this is the announcement. We are dedicated. We are coming back and putting on the biggest tournament of this style of our indigenous style game here that we play here in the area. And we're going to we have not picked a time. We're reaching out to some teams beforehand to see, you know, we have some teams from up north, Wisconsin. We know that they're going to come and bring some teams. We're reaching out to them to find what a date and a time. But we're going to have, boys and girls divisions, you know, elementary school age, middle school age division, high school division. If we have enough interest, and I think we will, we may even have a novice division and an experienced division. So we have some communities that have been really going gangbusters with their youth programs, and so we'll have some teams that'll really show up and really bring a high level of play. But we also want to encourage the young ones to pick up the sport and give it a try. So we're going to try to make it fun and even out the play. So I would say right now, just without even broadly advertising, I would say 12 to 15 youth teams and probably 5 to 6 different communities represented for this tournament.
Wow. We'd love to get involved with that some way. When the date is, let's get you back on. Now, I just have a question. Would that tournament be inside or outside? Because I know you do inside during the winter.
Right now we're exploring options. If we're having teams travel and we want to avoid a situation where we need to cancel because of inclement weather. So we haven't set the exact venue yet. We're looking at late summer, probably most likely fall, when school's back in session. I know that some of our communities find it easier to travel once school's in session. So, but yeah, it will definitely be here in the Twin Cities.
Awesome. Hey, for people that are not familiar, what would a youth tournament look like?
That's a great question. So we'll have, you know, unlike our community games, which are for fun and all in, you know, no limits on number of players, we'll have for the tournament, we are looking to have a little bit more competition. We will have some particular parameters. So we'll have a set number of players for each team, a set number of players on the field at a time. So it may be a 5-on-5 tournament with, you know, 3 subs. So teams of 8, a minimum of 8 maybe. And we'll have, since it'll be our biggest tournament, we'll be able to have a little bit longer games. But it'll be kind of a round robin style play. So every team will get at least probably 3 or 4 games, if not more, probably maybe 15, 20 minute games, maybe half hour games. And so once that round robin play is, we'll go into a kind of an elimination bracket style play. And that'll work really well for the high school, you know, for the older players. For the younger players, we'll see, for the junior divisions, we'll see if we'll do an elimination bracket or if we'll just have kind of a round robin and but there's going to be lots of prizes. We should be able to give out some sticks, t-shirts, you know, other prizes, and some other things for, you know, folks to take home. But we really hope the community comes out, and if, whether you're on the field or not, that you just show up and support our young ones. We'll most likely have an adult division too, but really the focus is going to be on our 18 and unders.
So people that are listening that aren't, you know, we have a lot of our allies listen to the show. Can you kind of explain not only the stick, but the difference between lacrosse and the creators game?
Right. So, you know, there's a misconception that lacrosse, you know, as most people understand it, you know, it still is kind of a niche game, you know, very popular in certain parts of the United States. So upstate New York, the Baltimore area, and then Long Island. So if you're from those areas, you know the game, whether you play it or not, because you see it in the backyards, you see it at the parks. Now, as you move away from those areas, basically still like Florida along the East Coast, you know, you have a pretty good idea. But as you move to the Midwest and the rest of the country, a lot of people still aren't aware of what the sport is. They may remember it's that stick with the basket on the end of it. So if you're playing today, high school or college, you know, this, what the stick is basically a plastic, molded plastic stick with a net on the end. The stick's about, you know, 3.5 feet long, you know, made out of aluminum. The men's version of the game they wear basically looks like hockey gear, and they play on about a football sized field. And the nets are 6x6. They look like hockey goals, but they're much bigger. And so that's what I refer to as the modern game. That's what they play in high school and college. But our game, Creator's Game, is much different. Both in the stick, the style of play, the reason why we play. And so our sticks, you know, traditionally, they're a wooden stick, again, about the same length, 3 feet long. But instead of a large kind of open basket of plastic and netting, we have a smaller hoop that's just a little bit bigger than the diameter of the ball itself. So it's a pretty small hoop. And there is no protective equipment. All of the protective elements are how we play the game, the accountability, the agreements that the teams have. And so those are decided in a real civil manner. It's that, you know, it comes from our old teachings, you know. So we always think of it as a much more civilized game than the modern game, because we have all these agreements in place. And then finally, I'll just say that the goalposts instead of large 6x6 hockey nets, we use single goalposts. So they're about four inch diameter.
We have our friend John Hunter, who is founder and coach of Twin Cities Native Lacrosse. And then we're going to take a quick break and pay the bills. This is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Yes.
KFAI brings the goth diva Zola Jesus to the Parkway Thursday, May 29th. Zola Jesus is back with her latest album, Archons, an atmospheric masterwork that grabs you with its gnarled intensity. Dark yet colorful, poetic yet prosaic, haunting yet real, Zola Jesus walks the razor's edge between glitch shaman and Hollywood chanteuse. Tickets for Zola Jesus can be found at the Parkway Theater's website. Visit theparkwaytheater.com for more details.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
No.
No.
Yeah, right on. Hey, we're here with our friend John Hunter, founder and coach of Twin Cities Native Lacrosse here in the Minnesota, the Twin Cities. Great to have you on. And this section here, this segment's going to go pretty quick. So I'm going to jump forward here and ask a couple questions that we have here. One of the interesting things that I know Haley and I talked a little bit about was as of the community in the world studying how indigenous games not just helps our physical health, but also helps our youth thrive in all sorts of ways. Can you talk a little bit about that research?
Yeah, I just got back from a conference in Albuquerque we're involved in a multi-year health study with the top indigenous doctors in the nation, looking at how when we play our games and when we do our cultural activities, that it's not just, you know, for the heck of it. It actually is indigenous technology that we've used for thousands of years to keep ourselves healthy, and not just physically healthy, but mentally, spiritually, and emotionally healthy. And you, when you come to these games and you get to laugh and have fun, that's why we've been so successful, is our parents and our young people see it right away. It feeds the soul, and it gives us instructions for how we can, live our lives in health and wellness off the field. So we do our teachings, we smudge, we do all these things that you don't see, you know, in the NFL, you don't see at the high school games, that our native families that are fortunate to go to ceremonies, they'll recognize some things that they see alongside our creator's game. And these are all are part of this, this practice that we have that feeds our souls and feeds our health and wellness, not just muscle and bone, but all the aspects of our lives. So it's really amazing.
How can, and I failed to ask this the first segment, is how can people find out more information? Is it a Facebook, a phone number, a website? Could you let our audience know?
Yeah, Twin Cities Native Lacrosse. We're on all the social media platforms except TikTok. So that's Facebook as Twin Cities Native Lacrosse, on Instagram or TC Native Lacrosse. And that's the best way to find us. We will be launching, as part of this youth tournament, we will be launching a website, and we have weekly games held at Corcoran Park in South Minneapolis, Sundays from 2 to 4. So those are weekly games. Everybody's invited. We have our set of community sticks there, so no equipment needed, no experience needed. So it's all ages. It's intergenerational. Play to the level that you feel comfortable. And we'd love to see you out. So Corcoran Park every Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m.
Wow. We have a Gen Z producer here and co-host, Haley. Haley, do you have any questions for John?
Oh, I don't know. Well, maybe the question, do you guys ever practice in the Woodbury area? Have I seen you guys out there?
Oh, you cut out. In what area?
Oh, sorry, Woodbury.
Woodbury, yes. We were recently out there in the winter time. So we, in the winter time, we go indoors, and for each winter, we kind of jump around to different areas around the Twin Cities. So this last winter, we were Friday evenings. We were at the Minnesota Athletic Club in Woodbury, and that turned out to be a very popular, well attended event. So maybe we'll be back out there. Starting in, usually our indoor games start in November and go through March. So again, those are weekly, same format, same all-in kind of family or community style games. Not so competitive. It's really about just laughing, teasing each other. If there's enough young people, maybe we'll have a young person's game, let the old folks take a break. But I'd love to have you out there.
Well, yeah. Haley, you could just bike over there.
I know. That's why I asked, because I think I saw that when it was colder here. And I was like, wow, I got to message John and we got to get him on the show and I got to ask him so I can come over there. Because, yeah, it's such a great way to get active, too. And I just want to mention, when I visited the National Museum or the Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., there was a picture, like an old oil painting of Native Americans playing the creator's game with the traditional sticks, kind of like in the Plains area. Yeah, that's cool.
Yep. There's stories everywhere that you look, in the missionary diaries and in the military fort diaries, in our own language books. You can find references to the game everywhere. You just got to look for it. And in all communities, those that are bookworms and like to do that stuff, you see that the history is documented for hundreds of years. So. So that's great. Yeah.
So what is a Dakota, Ojibwe, and Ho-Chunk word for lacrosse? Do you know? I'm sure you know Ho-Chunk. Ho-wah.
Yeah. So I'm not a language speaker for any of those languages, so you'll have to forgive me. But for Ho-Chunk, we say Chob-Nah-Ki-Sik, or shortened to Chob-Nah. So that's Ho-Chunk. For Ojibwe, we say Bug-It-Away-Win. Is the kind of the noun, or you say bug it away is the verb. He or she plays lacrosse is bug it away. And for Dakota, we say tecopsy choppy. And so for that, they all break down in different ways, but tecopsy choppy just means to make a ball bounce or jump. So tapa, psicha makes. Tapa means ball, psicha means to jump, and then the P at the end just means they do it. So,
well, I've seen, and I'm sure it's different over the thousands of years that Native's been playing it, but I see paintings, too, in books that have hundreds of people playing at once, and they play until it's done. And that's a really interesting concept. So it's part of the term medicine game or creator's game. Can you tell us a little more about those deep meanings?
Yeah, so there's some teachings. You know, each community, each tribe has their own stories about the game. But one of the things that's pretty common is that the game was not invented. It was given to us by divine means, whether it was through a lightning storm or Ojibwe have a story about the sturgeon. So all of these stories talk about that these games were given as gifts so that our animal and our spiritual relatives took pity on us and wanted to give us things that would help us in our lives, get through our lives. So that's really one of the key stories of the medicine game, you know, that these are gifts. They're meant to be used for good and for healing, to help us out, to help one another and to help ourselves out. And another story that's really great is the creator's game. There's a story about when we play this game, one of the reasons that we yell out up to the sky at the beginning of the game is to get the attention of Creator. And we do the game to amuse Creator. Creator's busy, got a lot of things going on in the world. And so the game is really for amusement, for the spirits, for the Mani Duke, and for the great beings. So that's one of the stories I heard about Creator's game.
Wow. John, thank you so much. We got to do this again. I will be seeing you in the community. Thank you so much. John Hunter, founder and coach of Twin Cities Native Lacrosse. Hey, this has been Native Roots Radio. We'll be back tomorrow. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. And go out there and resist.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic. Oh.